Thank you, Mr. President. Again, I want to thank my colleague from Massachusetts, Senator Kerry, for working together so well on this very important amendment. We understand that we're not going to get a majority here. We know we're not going to even get anywhere near a majority. But the Senator and I know that we represent the view of the majority of the American people, which has clearly been demonstrated in every indication, whether it be conversations or polling or the town meetings that I hold in Wisconsin, that the people of this country know that we have to finish this Iraq mission, that it cannot be open-ended. To me, the most touching moments of this debate came from the senior senator from Massachusetts, who quoted his own brother, Robert Kennedy, who for many of us was the central figure who inspired us to go into politics. I hope the senator doesn't mind my repeating Robert Kennedy's words in 1968. Past error is no excuse for its own perpetuation. Past error is no excuse for its own perpetuation. That is what the Iraq situation represents. Now let's be clear. Every one of us, as the senator from Massachusetts pointed out last night, voted for the Afghanistan invasion. We did not think that was a mistake. I would ask my colleagues on the other side, if they believe we believe in cut and run, why aren't we trying to cut and run from Afghanistan? Why is no senator saying, let's get the troops out of Afghanistan, as difficult as it is? Because that was not a mistake. Because that was essential. Because we had to go after the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. It was not a mistake. What is a mistake, though, is to continue indefinitely the Iraq invasion and the Iraq situation with some 138,000 troops without any realization or recognition that it is sapping our strength. It is sapping our credibility around the world. It is sapping the resources of our military. It is sapping the recruitment ability of our military. In other words, it is weakening America. And at the same time, I mentioned on the floor yesterday, the situation appears to be slipping in places where we know Al-Qaeda was operating. Places like Somalia, where Mogadishu has now been taken over by a radical Islamic government. In Indonesia, where we are trying to work with the Indonesian government, but the fact is, in the area between the Philippines and Malaysia and Indonesia, there is an ungoverned area where groups that are sympathetic to Al-Qaeda are operating. This is a threat of the exact kind that 9/11 represents, and we know that they have successfully pulled off attacks in Indonesia. But perhaps most compelling to me is the fact that we are losing ground in Afghanistan because we have stopped paying attention to the number one priority in the fight against terrorism. Let me just quote from the Washington Post article from June 20th entitled, "In Tribal Pakistan, a Tide of Militancy." In North Waziristan, barbers are ordered not to shave off beards, and thieves have been swiftly beheaded. In SWAT, television sets and VCRs have been burned in public. In Dur, religious groups openly recruit teenagers to fight U.S. forces in Afghanistan. In the Khyber area, armed squads have burst into rooming houses, forcing people to pledge to obey Islamic law. A tide of Islamic militancy is spreading across and beyond the semi-autonomous tribal areas of northwest Pakistan that hug the Afghan border. Observers say the Army's aggressive efforts since 2004 have backfired, alienating the populace with heavy-handed tactics and undermining the traditional authority of tribal elders and officials. Mr. President, how did we lose the focus on those who attacked us in 9/11? And does it make sense to continue to pour virtually all our resources into an Iraq war that is not working? It is time to tell the Iraqis that we have done what we can do militarily, that we will continue to help them in many ways, that we will continue to have special operations forces capacity in that region to take on situations such as the al-Zarqawi situation. But the notion of continuing to put all of these resources just into Iraq on the absurd notion that that is the key to the fight against Al-Qaeda is one of the worst mistakes in American foreign policy history. This is an enormous disservice to the American people. It is especially a disservice to the families of those who have died, those who have been injured, and those who continue to serve. We owe it to those families to not be standing here when number 3,000 soldier has died. It does not have to happen. It does not have to be. What is happening now is the horrible situation, not the imagined problems that the other side continually suggests will occur if we have a reasonable program to bring this to a conclusion within the coming year. Mr. President, how much time do I consume?
The senators consume 5 minutes.
Mr. President, I've been a legislator for almost 25 years now, and I must say that this is one of the toughest moments of my career, to see the United States Senate not recognize that we were falsely led into a war, that we falsely led the American people into believing this had something to do with 9/11, and that many of the things that have happened simply didn't have to happen. That's water over the dam. But what has happened after the mistake was made is that mistake after mistake has been compounded. Every day on this myth that somehow Iraq is the central focus on the war of terrorism is being used as an excuse to send more and more Americans into harm's way, which is not necessary. Mr. President, Iraq is not the be-all and end-all of our national security. Iraq is not the situation that led to 9/11. And the American people know it. It is time for this body to catch up and have a reasonable plan to finish the Iraq mission so we can focus on those that attacked us on 9/11.